God has an encouraging word for you on this very special Friday edition of The Encouraging Word as we take your questions and discover answers. The Encouraging Word. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And over these last few weeks, we've just received an enormous amount of questions, whether it comes in via text or email. Just know that we're here appreciative of every question that we have. Matter of fact, if you'd like to text a question right now, you can do that at 866-441-4487. I'm going to slow it down for you. You can jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-441-4487. Though we can't get them to as fast to answer on this program, the next program we do is Question and Answers. You'll hear your answers as well. So let's open our hearts to what God wants to do as we discover God's encouragement in the Bible itself with Dr. Don Wilton on today's message, You Ask, God Answers.
Hello, my friends. You know, I'm just so thrilled that we can spend time together like this through the Encouraging Word broadcast. You know, we receive literally scores and scores of letters and emails from every source all around the country asking me questions, important questions about spiritual matters that really matter. I'd like to answer some of these for you today. I've got a smattering here in my hand. I don't even really know where to begin. But I want to just give you a snippet of what I believe God would say in response to some of these great questions that you send to me. You know, I got this letter actually not too long ago, and it's a beautiful letter, dear Dr. Wilton. And this precious person is just talking about doubting her faith. You know, and saying to me, we're living in a world where so many people and the media and places from schoolrooms to courtrooms are casting doubt on our Christian faith. And she quite honestly says, you know, I'm quite depressed about it. And sometimes I wonder even if I just doubt if God exists. You know, I can understand that. You know, life is so filled with the difficulties of life. You know, being sick in your body can cause you to start doubting God. By the way, pain hurts, doesn't it? So I want you to think about that. I got a very good friend, even as I speak right now, who's in terrible pain. It's very difficult to be in pain or to be confronted by a doubting world, the skepticism, and yet be strong in your faith. That's why we walk by faith. Not by sight. I want you to renew your faith. Trust God. Believe God. Just take God at His word. Go back to the source of your faith, and He will enable you to overcome your doubts. Well, here's a question that we get quite often here. This writer wrote to me and said, would I explain what the meaning of believer's baptism is all about? You know, thanks for a great question like that. You know, I love people from all walks of life. I've got so many friends who are Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists and Episcopalians and people from every walk of life. First of all, let me tell you, the bottom line is, do you know Jesus? That's the bottom line. It's all about Jesus. But you know, every time I talk about baptism, I go to the Bible. The Bible is our source, our authority. Remember what happened to Jesus. Jesus went to the River Jordan and asked of John that he be baptized. You remember that? Now, why would Jesus be baptized? I mean, after all, he was God. Everything Jesus did was a picture of what He expects of us. Everything He did on this life, everything He said was designed with you and me in mind. So consider the baptism of Jesus. He stepped into the water. John took him, placed him under the water. Having placed him under the water, he brought him out of the water again. Now it's very important to notice that the picture that Jesus was giving to us is exactly what happens when we give our lives to Jesus. We stand with Jesus, then we are buried with Him. Remember, Jesus went to the cross and was buried for our sin. But are we left in the grave? Was Jesus left in the grave? Was He left under the water? No. He rose again by the power of God. Jesus was brought back up out of the water, and God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." That, my friend, is believer's baptism. I encourage you to be baptized according to what the Bible teaches, related to what Jesus did, and God will bless you. Here's another one, all right? Someone wrote to me and said to me, "Dr. Wilton, how do I witness to other people?" Don't you find that a constant challenge? I do, you know. Do you know, just a few moments ago, before I sat down to talk to you, I ran into a young man by the name of Matt, who gave his life to Jesus Christ. I was talking to him just a little while ago. And you know, one of my good friends, Colby, led Matt to Jesus. That's what I want to do. And I know that's what you want to do. How do you become a witness? Let me give you the best thing I can tell you. Invite people to give their hearts to Jesus. You say to me, "Now, wait a minute, what do you mean by that?" Ask them, "Would you like to give your heart to Jesus?" Have you ever thought about that? Think about what we ask people most of all. Would you like to go to church? Good thing to ask them. Would you come with me to church? Great thing. Don't ever stop asking them that. We ask people, "Would you like this? Would you like that?" The one thing we struggle to ask people is, "Would you like to give your heart to Jesus?" Do you know what I've discovered? Every person who's ever given their heart to Jesus will tell me, "Oh no, I've done that. Well, I know exactly where to go next." But you know, when people haven't given their hearts to Jesus, that's not the easiest question to answer, is it? And then you know. God will tell you. And when you know, it's as simple as saying, "Can I help you to give your heart to Jesus today? Why don't you just pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart?" Do you know, inviting Jesus into your heart is not about how well you say that prayer. Just think about it. People who don't know Jesus, how are they supposed to know what to say? But God knows, because He made you and He loves you. And the moment you give your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God takes over. Be a witness. Share Christ. Invite people, talk to them, and ask the question, "Hello there, I'm so glad to meet you, Sue. Would you like to give your heart to Jesus today?" Now, what is the worst thing they can do to you? Well, I'm not even going to go there. But what's worth asking them that question? You know what it's worth? The angels in heaven rejoicing. And God is going to use you to be a witness. I'm praying for you as you do so. All right, let's go to another. Oh, yes, sir. This is a great one. I got this question from someone. Said to me, "Now, Dr. Wilton, what exactly is original sin?" Wow. Original sin? Well, let's go back to the word original. The word original comes from the word origin. What does origin mean? It means back at the beginning, right? So what is original sin? Where did it originate from, sin? Well, you got to go back right there into the book of Genesis. What happened in Genesis chapter 1? God created Adam and Eve. How did He create them? In His image. What does that mean? The image of God. When God created Adam and Eve, mankind, He created us to look like God, to love like God, and to live with God. That's exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. It was perfect. And Jesus came, God did. He was there, and the Spirit was there, living with them, fellowshipping with them. And all of a sudden, here comes that slimy old snake, the devil, and they sinned. What happened? This is the original sin. All of a sudden, separation came in. They were thrown out of the garden. They hid from God. They covered their nakedness. They became aware. They all of a sudden took on the mantle of sin. And from that moment on, mankind who had been created forever in the image of God could no longer love like God, could no longer live with God, and could no longer look like God. That's pretty evident when we look at ourselves, don't we? Original sin goes back to the beginning. It all happened right there. And because Adam and Eve sinned, so it is that we are born in sin. But Jesus went to the cross, gave his life, and died on that cross, taking upon himself my original sin, my present sin, my past sin, my future sin, and he died with it and buried. And by the power of God, he was raised from the dead and he's alive. So when I give my heart to Jesus, my original sin, my past sin, my present sin, and all sin forever is left in the grave. And I am given the victory in Christ. Thank you for a great question.
What a powerful day of questions and answers. We'll be back with more of your questions and Dr. Don's answers from God's Word in just a moment. But Dr. Don, want me to remind you that we're always available to talk with you, pray with you, and maybe discover the answers to your questions on our prayer line. It's 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And we'd love to touch base with you. Maybe there's some things that have been pricked in your own heart about the teachings of Dr. Wilton today, and you're going, well, how about this question? We'd love to hear from you. Again, that's 866-899-9673, or you can submit your questions online at our website as well at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's question and answer time with Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word.
All right, let's look here. Oh, here's another one. I love questions like this, so thank you for writing this to me. What happens when I die? Whew. That's a pretty good question, isn't it? You know, death is quite a subject. It's a big subject. And could we be honest with each other? We don't really like to talk about it too much. And just judging by the way we fix ourselves up and take care of our looks and take care of our bodies, we try to do everything we can to stop ourselves from dying. Do you know, it's not something we're going to be able to avoid, because all of us are going to die someday. All of us. Let me tell you what happens when you die and you've given your heart to Jesus. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, Paul put it like this. He said, I would much rather be present with the Lord Jesus than be here in this life. And what he was talking about is that he would rather be with the Lord Jesus, because being absent, in other words, dying, means that I am immediately in the presence of Jesus. So here's what happens. When I die one day, and it's going to happen, I want you to know something about me. You're going to read it somewhere. You're going to see it somewhere. Maybe you're going to watch The Encouraging Word, and they're going to get up and say, you know, Dr. Wilton died. But you know what they're going to quickly say? They're going to say he went straight to be with Jesus. Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Here's what the Bible teaches. When you die, you close your eyes, you stop breathing. You're not even going to know it. Because God is going to send his angels to pick you up and to transport you into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, Paul, again, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, death has lost its sting. The grave no longer has victory. There's no power over you. You're going to be translated into the presence of Jesus. Do you know Jesus? When you give your life to Christ, you are immediately transported by the angels into the presence, seated at the feast table of the King. Give your heart to Jesus today. thank you for this question. I know it's coming from the heart of someone who knows and loves Jesus, just like me. And because you've given your heart to Jesus, you can have confidence today that all that fear is removed. Now, can I be honest with you? I'm not ready to die just yet. I'm praying that God may be so good as to spare me for many more years. I love living. I love my children, my grandchildren, and I most certainly love my wife. I love the ministry. I love the encouraging word broadcast ministry and you helping us to make a difference around the world. We've got work to do, folks. This is about Jesus. Man, our world needs Jesus. Do you know something? God somehow has put a joy in my heart. Because whether I live or whether I die, I win. Because Christ won. He gave His life for me. And as in Adam, we all die. But in Christ, we're all made alive. Thanks for a great question. All right, let's go on here. Here's another one. Here's a good one. This is fantastic here. So, how do we know God's will for our lives? Woo! That is a colossal subject. So you just got to beg my pardon right now, because how can I, on the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry in 30 seconds, and I've already taken some of that time, haven't I? You know, knowing and doing God's will, the Word of God is replete with that, is filled with it. There's so many passages of Scripture that I wish I could take to you. And by the way, you can write to me and ask me to send you a lot of passages. Email us here at The Encouraging Word. Go to our webpage, by the way. You'll love it, The Encouraging Word. You'll see us there. Talk to us. Get in touch with us. Correspond. Let us know. And we can send you the details here, because you need to get the Bible, go to grips. There's passages in Isaiah. There's passages in John's Gospel. There are passages in the Acts of the Apostles. I mean, we could go all over Scripture right now, but let me just say this to you. When Jesus comes into your heart, immediately He engages you in the face and the heart of God Himself. The Spirit of God indwells you. And by His Spirit, He empowers you. And He begins to speak to you and show you. So this is how He does it. He speaks through His Word. So I've got my Bible sitting right here next to me. This Bible is so beautiful. And God, from Genesis to Revelation, will speak to you. So I'm going to tell you now, make certain that you're in God's Word. Be in church. Be in that Bible study. Be in that life group. Be in that Sunday school group. Sit at the feet of those teachers, those pastors. Keep listening to the Encouraging Word. I try every time, and you know this, I try every time to open God's Word, every time I preach around the country, and we try to say, listen, this is what God says. So God speaks by His Word. God speaks by His Spirit. The Spirit of God who lives in you. Do you know Jesus? You do? The Spirit of God lives in you. And the Spirit of God knocks at your heart's door. He guides you. He inspires you. He fills you with joy. He gives you peace. He speaks through your mind. He speaks to you. The Spirit of God takes control and fills you with His presence and will show you. I'll tell you, I'm just telling you this, guys. Listen carefully. When you let the Spirit of God speak to you, you'll think you're dealing with apples and oranges are getting blessed. You'll say, how did that happen? God knows everything about you, and He knows your right hand from your left hand. He knows what you need, where you need to be, where you need to go, the decisions you need to make. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through His Spirit. He speaks through people. Like right now, you're listening to me. People like me, people like your mother, your father, your life group leader, that wonderful coach, that best friend. How about your wife, your husband, maybe your son, your daughter, your grandchildren, your next door neighbor who popped her head over the fence the other day and said, "Have you heard this?" And she thought she was talking about the apples growing on the tree down the road, but God sent her to send you a message to know His will. Isn't that fantastic? That's how God works in our lives. That's what He does for us. He speaks through His Word. He speaks through His Spirit. He speaks through people. But He also speaks through circumstances. Do you know everything you do is ordered by God? Do you know God never makes mistakes? Think about that for a minute. We make mistakes. He doesn't. And God orders our footsteps. Now, I know this is going to come across like, "Dr. Wilton, did you say that?" I'm going to go ahead and say it. Do you know sometimes even the things that we don't fully understand, God uses to show us where we need to be? He does. And sometimes it could be through a surgery. Sometimes it could be a heart attack. Sometimes it could be a wreck. Sometimes it could be a tornado that comes and destroys our home and our life. Sometimes, listen, circumstances are circumstances. And the Bible says in Romans, it's a wonderful passage. This is what God says. God is working all things together for the good of those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So thank you for that wonderful question about the will of God. Oh, here's another one. I've got to go. This one is a doozy. I don't have any time. I'm going to try my best. Dr. Wilton, what does it mean when the Bible says from dust to dust? Woo! Well, you know, when I saw that, I went back and looked. That's actually in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. This is what the Bible says. I wrote it down here, so let me read it. "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since it is where you were taken from, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Now that's God speaking to Eve, ultimately to Adam and Eve, because of the sin that had come into their lives. So, first thing I want to say to you, dust to dust means that because of our sinful nature, we are going to return back to the original form from which God made us to begin with. So, what was the stuff that God used to make us in His image? We were formed from the dust of the earth, right? That's God's original creation and the means by which He chose to create us. By the way, who owned the dust? God did. Dust is not kind of like nothing. God made the dust. Dust is something. It has value in God's economy, and evidently it has so much value, He made us out of the dust of the earth. That's the original creation of mankind, formed from the dust. Man sinned. The penalty of sin is the recreation of God by His Spirit. We are being recreated, and when we die, we go back to the original form by which God takes the origin of who we are in His original creative sovereignty, out of which we are now recreated in our immortal bodies. That's why in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 and follow, just read, "The perishable is now made imperishable. Mortal is now translated into immortal." We're taken back to the dust of the earth and we are recreated into the perfect image of God. We once again are able to live with Him forever and ever. Thank you for such a great question. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Just put it on me. I love questions like this, and I don't know all the answers, but God surely does.
Wow, this Friday edition has gone so quickly here on The Encouraging Word. I can assure you we'll do this again soon with a time of question and answer. Right now, we want you to know that we're here to answer some of your questions directly. You can speak with us on our phone line at 866-899-WORD, or talk with us keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's where you'll find everything from text lines, talk lines, the opportunity to connect with us at tewonline.org is available 24 hours a day. But rather than talk to us right now, would you open your heart to these last few moments with Dr. Don Wilton?
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Wow, if the Lord has touched your heart and you've given your life to Jesus Christ in these last moments with Dr. Wilton, I pray that you would let us know about it. Let us encourage you and put some free resources in your hands. Dr. Don has prepared a special packet for you if you've given your life to Jesus Christ or rededicated your life to Christ, and he wants you to have those as soon as possible. So call us and let us know. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or just meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And right now, so many folks online are talking about this faith in the midst of crisis. Now more than ever, we're seeing God call us to a deeper faith as we face the crises around us. Here's more information about how you can get your copy.
Right now, you may be driving in your car or sitting in the comforts of your home. Perhaps you may be at work or listening to us in a prison cell. Wherever you are, I have an encouraging word for you today. And that word is, God is in control. He is sovereign over the universe. His plan for your life remains intact, and he has not changed. He is right there with you. This month, with your support to The Encouraging Word, Dr. Wilton will send you two powerful resources, Faith in the Midst of Crisis, a new message available on CD or DVD, along with a copy of his book, Defying the Odds. You will be deeply encouraged, strengthened, and filled with hope to defy anything set before you. Call us at 866-899-WORD and request Faith in the Midst of Crisis on CD or DVD, along with the bonus book today. An operator is standing by to take your call. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone, but we're continuing to connect online at tewonline.org. I would challenge you, go to our website, tewonline.org, and sign up for the free daily email from Dr. Don. It will definitely jumpstart your day with a powerful word of God and insight from Dr. Don. That's online at tewonline.org.